Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. I am Cheryl Gallardo, and I am delighted to be here with all of you for worship today. I know some of you are in from out of town, and we welcome you. If this is your first time here, thanks for coming to Second B. There is a way you can let us know that you were here so we can say hello to you. There's a little barcode on the back that you can scan, just so we can get to know you a little bit better. And if you're joining us online this weekend, welcome. We welcome you to worship as well. Everybody, please don't forget. Coming up in just 2 weeks, we have our Trunk or Treat big event happening right here. All these kids over here, I know y'all want to know, right in this very room. We're going to have a big old bounce house over here. We're going to have games surrounding the whole sanctuary and tons of candy. So please come to Trunk or Treat. Thank you so much. If you've already dropped off some candy in the gray bin, there's still plenty of time for you to pick up a couple of bags and drop them in for us. We have lots of kids that'll be here that night. So thank you so much. Also, adult retreat registration is open. I know I saw someone out here at the table registering today. And so you can sign up online or you can register here in person. We'd love to see you with us in February in Santa Fe. Today is going to be a great day. You guys picked a wonderful day to come to worship. We're going to have a baptism in just a little bit. I know Archer's excited and I'm excited as well. So thank you all for being here today for this special day. Now let's just take a moment and let's take a deep breath. Let's prepare ourselves for worship today. The Lord be with you. Thank you. invite you all to stand with me as you're able for our call to worship this morning. We gather here to worship, seeking a focus for our being.
God calls us to worship the
Lord. We gather here to worship, though we feel drawn in too many directions, overwhelmed with too many tasks, chasing after something we can't quite name.
God calls us to worship
the being and the spirit of truth. We gather here to worship, wondering and hoping, doubting and uncertain, frustrated and afraid, but we are here.
God calls us to worship with our whole selves.
We are here. Let us worship with joy. Amen.
Let's pray together. There is no past. There is no future. There is no eternity. There is no time. In some sense, all that we have, all that there is now. And you are here, O God. We breathe you in. We thank you. We worship you. In the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, amen. You can be seated. join me as we celebrate and we all remember and receive baptism as Archer does today. The work of Jesus Christ began with his baptism.
So our work as disciples of Christ begins there too.
Today we present to you Archer Owen Phillips, who has acknowledged Christ as Lord and Savior. We affirm him as our brother in Christ and as a member of this church family. Lord, your joy is our joy as this family is renewed at the waters of baptism.
Reading the scriptures that happens at my church too. Reading the scriptures that Archer picked out for his baptism, and I'm reading from the Bible that I've done, I guess, every baptism that I've read from this Bible. That's why the pages are wrinkled and bent and worn. The Bible that my Presbyterian aunt gave me at the beginning of my ministry. Reading from the King James Version, James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. And from Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.
Well, today we are baptizing Archer Phillips, and I am so honored to be part of this baptism with you, Archer. He came to us through 2B Leaders Camp, our camp that we do during the summer, and this is his second year to come to camp. And Archer is a delightful human. He's very quiet spirit. He's a great leader in our children's ministry. He's an awesome big brother to Hayes. He's very respectful. He does everything we ask of him, and he just makes me smile on a daily basis, and I'm so proud to know you. I took our kids to children's camp this summer, and Archer went to another camp the same exact week, and I think it was the day I was coming back from camp, I got a text from your mom that said you had talked about baptism during the camp and that you couldn't wait to talk to me when you got back, and we met at Archer's house with his family, with his dad, Sean, and his mom, Cindy, and his brother, Hayes. And we talked about baptism and what it means for Archer and what it means for this family and what it means for this church that a child is coming forth saying he's ready to do this and make this big decision. And everybody in this room, your extended family, your friends who've come to see you be baptized today, you are so loved and they are so proud of you today. And I am so proud to be here with you, Archer. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Archer, do you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Yes. Well, then I am so proud to baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried in Christ through baptism and raised to walk in a whole new life, Archer. Yes, congratulations. Great job. Thanks. To invite all the boys and girls who want to come up to children's time with me, come up to the stage if you want to. Come have a seat, y'all. Welcome. Hi, good morning. Hey, Weston, come on down. I'm glad you guys are here. I see some new faces today. I love that. Glad to have y'all. Hey, Barrett, there's a place up here. Come on down. Yes, hi, Declan. Nice to have you right there. There we go. I'm glad you're here. I am so glad you guys came to children's time today. You got to see Archer be baptized. Was that cool, Hayes, to see your big brother being baptized? What an honor we get to do, and we get to see, and we get to be part of that, and part of his journey, and part of y'all's journey as you're learning that too. Today's children's time message is not as easy as some of the ones we get to talk about. It's kind of a tricky subject for me. I want you to think, don't say anything out loud. I want you to think in your head, has there ever been a time where somebody, not a sibling, somebody outside of your family maybe, has made you really angry or has really hurt your feelings, and you can feel that hurt inside of you? Have you ever had that feeling before? Show me. Yep. Okay. Yep. Okay. All right. That's one time. Has it ever happened more than one time? Oh, right. Exactly. Okay. Has it ever come from a sibling then?
Yes.
Oh, no. Yes. For certain. Yes. Those of us with big families especially. Yes. And sometimes, do you think, okay, so they made me mad, this person. They hurt my feelings. And I want to forget it. And I want to move on. And I want to forgive them. And you try. And you pray about it. And you think you do. Until one day, you see that person again. Or you hear a song that triggers the memory. Or you eat a hamburger that makes you think about when you had lunch and that made you mad. Do you ever think back and feel that same feeling cooking up inside of you again, and it makes you mad at them all over again? Man, me too. And I wish I could be honest and say it's easy to forgive and forget, but it's not, because we're human and we're going to make these mistakes and we're going to do these things all the time. But the Bible tells us that we're supposed to forgive. And that the Bible wants us to forget and to move on past that. And in our scripture today, it talks about that. It says that God forgives our sins and lets them go. It's almost like every single day we have a clean slate with our God. No matter what things we do today, God's not going to hold that against us tomorrow or the next day. You guys are all created in God's image, which means God looks like you and you look like God. So we don't want God to be reminded of these things that we do that cause problems. God easily forgets them. So think about it. When you see this other person, maybe it's a sibling, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a parent that hurt you or offended you, I want you to think that person was created in God's image and God has already forgotten it and moved on. So am I going to try to do that. That's hard. It's not easy. We all have to work on it on a daily basis, and that's why we're talking about it today. So I challenge you. Next time you see that person, that's what I want you to think about. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for Archer. We thank you for his decision to choose you, to choose life forever through you and through your son, Jesus. We thank you for these children. We ask that you help us to forgive and to forget and to move on and to love like you do. God, you are amazing and you are mighty and you are ours. And we thank you. Amen. All right, if you're going to preschool praise, Miss Donna is ready. Otherwise, you can go back and sit with your folks. Lainey.
The Psalms reading today is Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to consider, so many of you have been a part of a ministry through our church with the BSM here at Texas Tech Baptist Student Ministry. And because of this relationship, we often have folks who are Iranian and Persian who are active in our congregation. And as you may well know, the difficulties that have been happening there, we've been asked to pray for our brothers and our sisters and our friends in Iran. So as we pray today for the world, we will hold these Persian friends in our hearts and minds together. Let's pray. This is the world you love. These are the people you love. We have received baptism together because of your love. And we pray for your world, O God, those around the world in Iran and beyond, and those who are in Texas. May your spirit be near. May your comfort, your hope, your grace, your love redeem all things. For it is in the power and in the name of true love that we pray together. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able. Continue to worship.
Our Hebrew scripture today is from Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or to say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
a joy, a delight it is to gather with you for worship. Your face, your song, your presence is a primary way that we know that Christ is risen, that Christ is here. If there's any way that we follow up with you or partner with you, particularly in prayer, or respond in any way, invite you to use the cards or whatever sort of paper you can find anywhere, and you can place in the offering basket as you go by later. And we'll just say it is a tremendous honor for our staff to gather around these requests for prayer on Mondays, and we're grateful for you sharing that. So, Casey, you remember last week I began the sermon with the way that I was told not to begin sermons, right, with Greek declension, because that's sexy. And I'll tell you how I was taught to preach, right? One way that you're taught to preach is you tell them what you're going to tell them, them being the congregation. You're the congregation, for those of you keeping score at home. Tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them you were going to tell them, and then tell them that you told them what you told them because you told them you were going to tell them. So that's what we're going to do today. We're gonna have three sort of reflections and breaths, and then we'll be done. We received the words of Jeremiah through our friend Callie. Just to be honest with you, it's an interesting placement in the dictionary. Normally, the words of Jeremiah and Isaiah are 70 days from now. It's Christmas. Santa's coming. When I wrote this part of the sermon, I thought you'd be more excited when I said Santa's coming. Oh, you're one of those types, aren't you? You're like, Jake, you can't talk about Christmas until after Halloween. Are any of you after Halloween? Oh, you're even more religious than that, aren't you? No Christmas until after Thanksgiving. Would you dare admit to be such a person? Okay, yeah. We normally receive these words of Jeremiah, particularly this 31st chapter. We hear them a lot in other sections of Isaiah in Advent. It's sort of we're inaugurating our spiritual year, but here we receive them at the end of the year. Yeah, which I think is suggesting Christmas is not just for December. Christmas is all year round, baby. You know, but it's interesting, the placement here is suggesting not just where do we begin, but also where do we end. I'm an Enneagram 7. I'm a half full. The glass is half full and delicious. Let's drink it all, especially if it's served at Goodline. And I like new things, but I think a spiritually challenging question for us, right, is how do we end? What is it like to end? And I think Jeremiah is also a prophet of ending. Jeremiah longing for the ending of exile. Jeremiah longing for the end of this division that exists among kindred spirits. Jeremiah longing for the ending of a forgetfulness and a lack of faithfulness with regard to the people. And so I'd like for us, you know, this 31:31 says, through the prophet, the Lord says, a new thing, which I think suggests there is something before the new thing. That something that has come before, at least in some regards, is no longer. That something that has become before the new thing has come to an end. And although we may prefer to jump to the new thing, which in our tradition is resurrection, right? Joy, new life, awesome Christmas. This is the Christmas hand motion they teach you in preacher school. I have no idea why I'm doing that, right? But I think equally as valuable is how do we end? How does something become no more? And I'd like to encourage you, at least in two regards. It is a beautiful thing to end well, is it not? It's beautiful. I think possibly you could take this construction of crucifixion and resurrection in the life of Jesus. You could take that as a model for ending well, if you'd like. And yet also, some things, important things, don't end well. They crash and they burn, baby. Can a brother get an amen? Yeah. And if it crashes and burns, if that's the way that the thing before the new thing ends, you're still a person. You're still a beloved child of God. Not everything ends well. Sure, it's nice to end well, but sometimes it ends badly. And so before we jump to the new thing, I'd just like for you to take a few breaths, to be still, and possibly just for a moment to be present to that which in your world, in your life, in this world, in this life, might be coming to an end. Would you take a few breaths? The voice of the Lord through Jeremiah says, I am making a new covenant with Israel and Judah. Israel is the northern tribes. Judah is the southern tribes. The sons of David and Solomon. You know, it's very interesting. The monarchy of David really doesn't last that long, and yet it contains so much of the narrative in our Hebrew scripture. Further, this person who is called wise, Solomon, is known as a person who's known by wisdom, and yet his entire family falls apart. You know, my family's a mess. And so is yours. I've learned a few things about you over these last few years. The sons of Solomon make the Hatfields and McCoy look like child's play. Yeah, even this family thing that we're doing, it comes in some regard to an end. And so the sons of Solomon split. Not only are these sons who can't get along at Thanksgiving, these are sons who war against one another. And so there is a great divide. And the 10 northern tribes become Israel, and the 2 southern tribes become Judah. And the voice of the Lord through Jeremiah says, amongst these people who have been warring with one another, just for a moment, imagine a country that's divided. Well, aren't you smart? You can use your imagination, can you not? And the operative word here, I think, is so incredible. The voice of the Lord through Jeremiah says, I am making a new covenant with Israel and Judah. And maybe we just, this is not exhaustive, but illustrative. The word covenant, we'll just assume, is the presence and the promises of God, of the divine. And the voice of the Lord comes through Jeremiah and says, my presence and my promises, I will establish these in a new way amongst Baylor Bears and Red Raiders. Amongst those who are straight and those who are gay. Amongst Republicans and Democrats. Yeah, the old thing has got to end. The old way of the thing that came before has got to come to an end. A good end or a crash and burn end, it doesn't matter. In order for there to be room for the new thing to be made. In our families, in our world, in our country. And after the old thing has gone, what is being made new? And if you would, this is number 2, by the way. One more left. If you would, just breathe in your mind and in your heart and in your soul. Be present to and wonder what might be new. There was a younger guy who was real jazzed up about his faith. This is the sign for jazzed up about his faith. It's the same sign we used for Christmas earlier. Israel, I don't know. And so he was in the grocery store. And he came upon a person who seemed to be maybe a little bit more solemn in the cereal aisle. And the young guy who's all jazzed up about his faith, there's no one around. And so the young guy jazzed up about his faith wanted to share the gospel with this person in the cereal aisle, because nothing makes milk and cereal better than evangelism. Anyways, the young guy comes up and says, excuse me, sir, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? I know Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior. It's changed my life. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And the older man was evaluating types of granola, as one does, and looked over and said, no, I don't know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. But I do have this suspicion that Jesus is our Savior. I think Jesus is best shared. That was the end of the sermon illustration, but I can't help but to wonder if he said, would you like some granola? which brings about 2 points I'd like to consider. Pronouns and prepositions. We're going to talk about grammar, so just try to stay awake. You can do this. I know you can do this. Pronouns are important. It is important. I believe it is important that we try to use pronouns as best as possible. And my name is Jake, and I would like to be called Jake. And if I were to be called Fred, for example, that would make me angry. I don't like Fred. Fred's not a nice person. I think it's important in our world that we use pronouns to celebrate the very same way that God celebrates people. The scripture says, I have called you by name. And I think God hears your name. God knows you deepest as you know yourself deepest. And this is the way that the Lord, the divine, holds you and names you and calls you. I think it's very important for us to use pronouns intentionally. And I will admit, along with most of the sermon, I often put my foot in my mouth and mess up. And I commit to wanting to do better, to wanting to call you in the best way possible. You see, it's not my church. It's not my faith. It's not, I don't baptize people. We do. It's not my scripture. It's our scripture. It's not my church. It's our church. It's not my God. It's our God. Pronouns are very important. And second, prepositions are also important. And either the way that I received it or internalized it or inherited, I inherited this cereal aisle sort of faith, in which the gospel, and we'll talk about the definite article another sermon, but which the gospel was to be shared with those who don't have it, don't you know? And this, honestly, because I didn't share it, honestly produced a lot of guilt and shame in my life. And that is because I believe that gospel, good news, the promises in the presence of God, as Jeremiah outlines, is not to be shared with. It's to be shared in. It's not mine. I don't own it to give to someone else. Rather, we are all and each receiving an invitation to come into the presence and come into the promise together. It is good news, and it is to be shared in. And this is very important because those in history, including myself, who have the power and authority to share with haven't. And they're recorded stories in our Baptist tradition. Well, I'm not Baptist, Pastor Jake. Well, here you are. You're at the only real Baptist church in town and the best Baptist church in town. In our Baptist tradition, churches in the 50s and 60s and 70s traveling with all good intent, and myself included at other times, traveling with all good intent to Africa to share with gospel among indigenous peoples, and this is recorded, that the very people who received this message years later came to America for the United States for either work or to attend school. And some of these individuals from Africa who found themselves in the very same city, the very same community that had come all the way to Africa to share in the gospel good news with them. We have recorded events, and I don't want to name any specific congregation in our Baptist tradition because, honestly, you could say bad things about our congregation, too. It's not, although I wouldn't, but it's not helpful, I don't think, to speak ill of the bride, the community of faith. But people from Africa have come all the way here, find themselves in the very same community, found themselves attending church, the very church that had come to Africa to share with them good news. And those churches, Baptist churches, voted not to receive those individuals as members based on the hue of their skin and the accent of their tongue. Lord God of all mercy, help us. Israel and Judah, which is, I think, maybe in part why this Jeremiah text takes a turn. And it doesn't say that the covenant will be made with those who live in a certain zip code. It doesn't say that a new thing will be made with those who do or don't vote in one direction or another. It says the promises in the presence of God will be written on their minds and on their hearts, the head and the heart. And I would suggest, and what this means, it means it is written down deep. The presence and the promise of God is written down deep. Now, in our culture, in my experience for the most part with the church, and particularly in my own life, this faith thing has been a head game. I can know it. I can know it better than other people. Would you see how that worked out? And yet there is also this heart aspect, which for most of my experience was diminished, particularly compared to some sort of intellectual, philosophical, or theological endeavor. And in my experience, this is mostly true in the church. And so I'm receiving these words this morning, that the promises in the presence of God written on their minds and their hearts, I'm particularly receiving the challenge of the heart. What is written on your heart? Lillian Vaughn Lee, Sufi mystic, says it this way: our hearts know what our minds have forgotten. A better sentence I know for you. Our hearts know what our minds have forgotten. It knows the sacred that is written within. And we can once again experience this connection of belonging by deeply feeling. So I invite you to take time now to breathe and consider, what has God written on your heart? Breathe with me.
And if you would join me in praying. Loving God, while Jeremiah's words were prophetic in his day, they are the blessed reality and challenge of our everyday living. Out of love and gratitude, we seek to settle your law deep within us, taking deep root, changing us, and bending us to you. In becoming your people, help us give up selfishness and take up instead your generosity. Exchange our casual indifference for your very intentional kindness, our meanness for your forgiveness. Hoping your wisdom and grace and promise are truly written in our hearts. And in this way, you are our God. And in our experiencing of you, we will unmistakably be your people in ways that bless the world and reflect the honor of being made in your image. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, music ministry. Let's stand and pass the peace of Christ with one another. That was fun. May the peace of Christ be all on beyond all human understanding, be in your mind and in your heart now and always. Amen.